And today, again, we're concluding our Christmas Dream series, and the name of our sermon today is Christ Returns. Christ Returns. I'm awaiting that day, and of course, when I'm saying that day, I mean the second coming of Christ. I'm awaiting that day where the church will be called home, when the roll is called up yonder. Christ will rapture his church, and rapture means, the word means to be caught up. It's Latin, meaning raptura is the name, and it means to be caught up to be with him. That when Jesus calls his church, we are going to go heaven bound. And it's going to be an amazing thing. It's going to be an amazing thing. And here in our Christmas narrative, the Christ child is coming back to Israel. He's returning to Israel. As we know from our previous sermon, they had escaped Herod's wrath, right? And they had fled to Egypt. But yet God is not done continuing. He continues to use dreams to speak to Joseph and to guide him and his family as he has in a frail, innocent child. In Matthew 2, it says, "But when Herod died..." And this is Herod the Great. Now, a couple of things to note, too. Herod the Great built the temple, okay? The temple had been destroyed, and the temple will be rebuilt by Herod. Herod, I got to go to Israel, and I got to go to Masada, and we traveled up this little dinky car that went, chink, 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 I think I can, let it not break, you know, kind of the ones you see in the Alps or whatever, go up that little car on a line, and we got to see this beautiful place called Masada, where it looked like nothing grew, but they set up these waterways and fountains, and they had, it was so green up there in the day of Herod. Herod built a palace in Masada. He had built the temple. He had built a glorious building for himself. And so, again, Herod, though, in the middle of his greatness, even under Rome, was paranoid, right? He never wanted to lose his power. He clutched on to his power. Interestingly enough, he would be in power for 33 years. Isn't that interesting? 33 years is how long he would be in power before his power would come to an end and his life would come to an end. And so again, the dream says, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. Just imagine yourself, you have been in hiding, right? You've been in hiding, and you've been in hiding away from a tyrannical leader that wants to kill the Messiah. That says, "Oh, I can't wait to see this baby boy." But he's tricky, right? And he's trying to trick the wise men. And would it be not for the Lord speaking to the wise men and speaking to Joseph, he would have completed his plan and been able to take out the Messiah, right? I don't know if that would have made you a little on edge. You ever move somewhere and it's a little scary to move, right? Because you're like, I don't know, how are the people going to be? How is the culture going to be? Never mind that he was moving from Israel to go back. I think Egypt might hold a little bit of connotation when it comes to going there. Slavery, bad times, you know, Moses, you know, all of this is flying through Joseph's head. And so Joseph and Mary are hiding out in Egypt until he doesn't get it like a newspaper, right? He doesn't have Christ Jesus returns from the Daily Times, right? He gets the message from the messenger. And another name for angel actually is messenger. And so he gets this message from the angel, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead," right? And so Joseph gets this information. And again, here we understand here that Joseph had to run from tyranny, yet God was still on the throne. And I want you to kind of step back to the story for a minute, and I want you guys to think about this. Notice God didn't just take out Herod as soon as the danger of his plan to destroy the Messiah came to be, right? So as soon as this happened, they didn't pray and like, God, just take out Herod. And boom, God took out Herod and they didn't have to leave. Right? Wouldn't that be nice? Right? Whenever our problems come, we can just pray a quick prayer and boom, that problem is just gone. Right? Can God do that? Sure he can. Should we have great faith to believe him and that he can do a supernatural miracle in a moment? Of course. And yes, he can. But many times in our life, it's very similar to Mary and Joseph. It's very similar to Mary and Joseph in the fact that God's still orchestrating in your life, still moving in your life, but yet again, it doesn't alleviate the danger. It doesn't alleviate the risk. If you look at faith, faith is taking a risk, isn't it? Faith is a leap of faith. It's a vocabulary word. It's a verb, okay? It is an action, right? And if there was no danger, we wouldn't have to leap away from that danger, right? And even if you think about it, Mary and Joseph going to Egypt was a leap of faith. A leap of faith that they'd find a place to live. Many historians think that they went to Alexandria, which is where many Jewish people lived in Egypt. And so they try to find other relatives, other friends, other fellow Jewish people. And so, again, they could have used that kind of strategy. But still, they need to understand, and I think we need to understand, that God is still on the throne even when danger comes. Even when our world gets shaken up, God is still on the throne. And when we face trouble, this doesn't mean that God has deserted us, right? I think sometimes when we go through trials, we're like, where are you, God? It means that he will work through the circumstances we face. Right now in our country, we are facing turmoil on a grand scale. This is not time to think God has left us. God knows the times for each leader and has foreseen the future. And so we need to pray for our country. Amen? We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our leadership. Amen? But most of all, we need to saturate ourselves in the presence of God. We need to do what the book of Acts confirmed through Peter. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to dream dreams and have visions. Our series is Christmas Dreams. You know how you get a Christmas dream? You ask for it, right? You ask for God, give me vision. Give me the dreams that you have for me, God. I want to be seeking you in your divine direction for our country, for our own personal lives, right? Mary and Joseph were running for their baby's life, and they could have blamed God. They could have stopped living out lives of righteousness and righteous behavior. But this was not what God was calling them to. He was calling them to continue to dream, to continue to be led by the Holy Spirit as they were holding Jesus in a place of hiding, in a hiding place. And I thought, you know, what best way to describe the hiding place is to think about Corrie Ten Boom. How many of you know of the hiding place? Corrie Ten Boom's The Hiding Place. Raise your hand up high. All right, so there is some, but there is some that's not. We're going to take a brief look. This is actually in Right Now Media, so if you're part of our church, you get Right Now Media, and we pay the cost for it. This is actually in The Voice of the Martyrs. Let's check out The Hiding Place.
Some people say that time heals all wounds, but there are some wounds too deep for time alone to heal. They require a different sort of remedy. Believe me, I know. My story begins at a time when Hitler's Nazi army invaded our country, when my life changed forever.
been taken over.
Our Führer, Adolf Hitler's slogan is, join us and make a better world. We're here to make things better. You'll see. Now, about my watch.
This is terrible, Corey. I never thought it would come to this. Father looks so worried.
Oh, Betsy, how I wish there was something we could do.
You have fine watches here, old man. Perhaps you should be just as selective with your, customers.
Never you mind him, Mr. De Vries. How may I help you?
I have a watch that needs fixing.
Well, let's have a look.
It's a rather delicate watch, Miss Tenbo. Might I show it to you in the workshop?
If you think it's best... Oh, it's
absolutely adorable. What a beautiful...
Baby?
Yes, a Jewish baby. My nephew. If the Nazis find him, they will certainly take him.
Take him?
You've noticed they're forcing us Jews to wear an identifying star. Rumor has it that the next step is to round us up and get rid of us. The child's father was picked up by the Nazis. He's never been heard from since.
We have no doubt that Hitler's regime is evil, but to harm a child?
I cannot take any chances. I know you are godly people.
Don't worry. My daughters and I would be honored to protect such a little one.
Besides, look at that face. Who would possibly want to harm such a child?
This is terrible.
On your knees.
Heidelberg!
They're taking everything I have. They say I cannot run my business anymore.
But why? Why are they doing this?
Because he's a Jew.
This? This is how you intend to make a better world?
You have to get rid of the bad in order to salvage the good. These Jews with their strange customs and religion have got to go.
Round them up. All these Jews.
What?
Heil Hitler!
Here, let me help you, Mr. Heidelberg.
We've got this one.
No, stop.
Leave him alone.
Come with me.
Father, where are you taking him?
To safety, Aunt Corey. I'm taking him out of harm's way.
Peter, is that you?
The resistance?
Find out their plans. I can hide Mr. Heidelberg at our house on the outskirts of the city, just like we did the baby, until we can arrange to smuggle them out of the country.
But the underground resistance?
It's against the law.
Against their law, Betsy, but certainly not God's.
But Corey, surely...
Let me give you a better understanding of the situation. Mr. Yakov, the baker around the corner.
What about him?
When was the last time you saw him? Right, you haven't. The Gestapo took him and his entire family 2 nights ago. The Beans, Seidens, Weismanns, all of them missing. Rumors are spreading that they are being rounded up and...
What? Rounded up and...
Exterminated.
Killed?
The problem is, we are running out of places to hide them.
Oh.
Realize that we're 3 streets away from the central police station.
The good shepherd gave his life for his sheep. Can we do anything less for God's chosen people?
Corey is right. We must save as many lives as we can, while there is still time.
It will be dangerous. You will need training in order to avoid any detection. You'll need to communicate with goats. Perhaps something to do with your repair work in the watch shop.
We have a man's watch that needs repairing. Can you look at it?
Bring it over.
You will need to be ready to receive people at any time.
Oh, thank you.
Remember, we will always notify you before bringing someone over.
Miss Tenbaum, my watch needs looking at.
Bring it by tomorrow afternoon.
And you are?
A new guest, Mr. Tenbaum. Viva asked not to give names.
Please, can you help me?
I really have nowhere else to go.
My watch needs fixing. Can I leave it here for a few days?
I brought the watch that needs repair.
Yes, do come in.
You must be prepared for raids. A secret room needs to be built on the highest floor.
You are my... my last resort, can I bring an old watch that's quite noisy?
It's asthma. It's gotten worse.
You will need to practice getting everyone into the hiding place. Good enough. Raids happen quickly. Everyone needs to be inside in less than 1 minute.
1 minute? How?
Practice.
Practice?
I love you.
Meal times are a favorite for raids. Make sure nothing is left out that will give you away. If it takes place in the middle of the night, turn the mattress over to make sure it's not warm. You will have to be perfectly ready. How many Jews are you hiding?
Six.
What? No, Aunt Cory. You have to say, Jews? What Jews? Practice more. Where are you hiding the Jews?
In the secret room. That is where they...
No, 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 Aunt Cory. The Jews. How do they get here?
I don't know. They just show up.
Where are the Jews? Where?
What Jews? There are no Jews here. What are you talking about?
You did it, Aunt Cory. You finally got it right.
Yay!
Shh!
I'm confident God will protect us, Peter.
And then it goes into them being caught. But I want you to get the time frame here. You can check out the rest of the video if you go to Right Now Media and look that up. Really encourage you to. Those aren't just for kids just because it's in a cartoon. It's for adults too. And Corrie ten Boom's family acted righteously, right? When the Netherlands were taken over by Nazi Germany in May of 1940, what did Corrie's family decide to do? As we saw, they became a part of a covert operation engaging in sneaking Jews out of the country to safety. I think about Mary and Joseph, and they were on a covert mission to sneak Jesus out of Egypt and on a covert mission to sneak him back into Israel. But again, Corrie and the Ten Booms were a part of a series of safe houses throughout the Netherlands. In their home, they created a whole system of speech, as you saw there, referring to the Jews as watches. And although they were eventually caught by February 1944, they rescued many. That's over 4 years that they were able to do that operation. We watch and they speed ahead the time in just minutes. But 4 years of rescuing people and being a part of these safe houses, it's estimated that through these activities, that 800 Jewish lives were saved through the safe house system and through the work of the Ten Booms. Christians aren't called to bury their heads in the sand. They are called to creativity. They are called to push beyond the limits of their own comfort zone. Do you think Mary and Joseph were pushing the limits of their comfort zone to move to Egypt? As we talked about, definitely, right? They created a hiding place for our Savior. And the Word Biblical Commentary makes the point that this passage connects to Exodus 4, and I'll go to that here. And there's actually Corrie, when she's older, showing what the hiding place looked like in real life and then cut out so you can kind of see the depth there. But Exodus 4:19 says, "Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, 'Go back to Egypt, for all the men who were seeking your life are dead.'" It's this Exodus typology. Jesus will be a Moses-type figure that we spoke of 2 weeks ago that will rescue Israel from their sin. It was time to go back, and they snuck out of Israel like the Ten Booms, and again, they have to sneak back in. I remember I was with a bunch of students, and we were in Botswana, And in Botswana, there was two project directors. They were our leaders. And then we had us as team leaders, and there was about six of us. So we were in charge of about 25 to 30 teenagers. Well, so we had about 90 teenagers with us. Well, we went to Zimbabwe it was really neat. We got to go on a big safari as one of our fun adventures. And so when you leave Botswana, you don't have to take out your passport and show them. You go through a stop place through. We had those big tour buses and went through and again went to Zimbabwe. Well, when we were going back, one of our students says, I left my passport in Botswana. What? Then we can't get you back into Botswana because you left your passport. And so our leaders, and I was one of them, our project directors said, we are going to have to hide her in the bus as we go through customs. So we are in the bus and we all get out our passport except her hiding under clothes in the bus. We all go through and then get back on the bus. And one of their leaders with guns comes in holding his guns, and I don't mean these, okay, and he's labeling and checking off everybody in the bus, and we were able to get her back to the campus where she actually had her passport. So we were able to sneak her back into the country. You can tell my adrenaline was running some a little bit. We had potentially would have had multiple leaders that had to stay back with her in Zimbabwe. It was pretty crazy. But this is the kind of picture of what Joseph did for Jesus. He was smuggling in the baby with an old wanted picture. Now, I don't say ca-ca-coo-coo wanted, okay? But again, I want you to get this, that Jesus, the previous Herod, his father, Herod the Great, wanted to kill Jesus. That's why he took out the babies that he did. And so we pick up in verse 22. When he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. Okay, it's an important note here that Joseph wasn't rebuked here for his fear of Archelaus. I believe it was a great concern. Maybe that's another way to say it, that he was so concerned because he's like, hey, his son is on the throne. Like, hey, my adopted son, Jesus, is in danger still. And the Holy Spirit, again, would use angels to speak to him and again say, you need to go down. He said, warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth. And I love this part, guys. It says, "But so the prophets might be fulfilled." You know, when bad thing happens after bad thing, a lot of times we're like, wow, God, I can see where you led me here, but now I'm even in a worse situation than I was before. I thought things were going to get better. I thought things were going to now take a turn for good. And now I get hit again. The Archelaus is here. And again, we're in a place of danger. And the Bible says here that God had him planned to live and grow up as a Nazarene. And we can have our plans and say, I'd like to live here. I'd like to live there. Wouldn't it be nice to live in a little warmer climate? I'm sure you're probably thinking that right about now, okay? But I enjoy the snow. But again, this aspect here of sometimes we think, oh, I have the better plan, and I'm going to make a plan. And it's good to make plans. There's nothing wrong with making plans. But when God changes our plans, we can also know that he's intricately involved in it. And it's okay if things change up, okay? And so, again, we see here that Archelaus, he will be deposed by the Romans in AD 6. So listen, no matter where you stand in all the news going on in Washington, D.C., know that God is on the throne. Know that God is on the throne. That his plans, once again, cannot be thwarted. So I don't care what power in government is saying this or what power in government is saying that. God's plans cannot be thwarted. Amen? And we're not to turn our backs on our Christianity, no matter what this country looks like or how it acts. In this sermon and passage of Scripture, we see a long reign of Herod the Great come to an end soon after he murders innocent children. Yet we see another leader come to power that acts badly as well. And Joseph is warned to not live in the area of his jurisdiction. And Joseph has his last dream recorded in Scripture. And again, Matthew stresses the continuing divine protection of the child. Last week, we looked at all of this from a heavenly perspective, right? In Revelation chapter 12. And we backed up the lens and looked at it from a heavenly perspective. Although the enemy would use multiple people and circumstances to try and destroy the Christ, God had his protective hand over the Christ child. The plan of God unfolds. Nothing has happened by accident, and it's all in its proper place as it must be when the sovereign God brings salvation. Now, let me say this. You know, there's a lot of people that will say out there, you know, some major tragedy comes about in your life, and they'll say, well, you know, it was in God's plan. Please know this. Let's do a prerequisite. We're talking about the salvation of mankind and God's sovereignty over the salvation of mankind. Bad things happen to good people. You and I have free will. Somebody can get out there and they can hurt somebody because they have free will, and then me and you suffer the consequences of those actions. But I want you to know that God is still working in your life and working in my life. And God has given us free will, and that does affect one another. But again, is God responsible? Is that part of God's big plan for you to go through a tragedy? No. We're in war. This is a spiritual war. We're not in World War II, okay? But I want to make the connection here that we are in a spiritual battle. And again, the enemy seeks to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus comes to bring life, amen? Life to the fullest. And so we need to know that we are in that spiritual battle. That even when Joseph and Mary were hiding Jesus in Egypt and then returning covertly, they were in a spiritual battle. And God was guiding them through. And we can know that God is guiding us through in our life. So what is the overall message as we prepare for Christmas? Only a few days away. Don't let kings and kingdoms ruin your Christmas. Whether that be on Facebook or Twitter or just in your daily life or it be on the news. Leaders will be put in positions of authority. And again, I'm not prophesying. I'm just saying here, we look to Scripture and we see, I want you to just see this clearly, that leaders will be lifted up and leaders will be taken down. Leaders will be lifted up, leaders will be taken down. All of us have an expiration date on our milk carton, okay? And we don't know what that is, but everybody has one. But again, that stuff will take place. But we don't place our hope in the Democrats. We don't place our hope in the Republicans. We don't place our hope in Congress. We don't place our hope in the presidency or, again, the judiciary, right? The Supreme Court. That's not where I place my hope. I'm thankful for those systems, but that's not where I put my hope. I put my hope on the kingdom that will never pass away. So let's be like the 10 booms of our own generation. Let's be ones that in the midst of the enemy's attack, let's shine like stars in this crooked generation as we hold out the word of life. Jesus gives us the big picture. He says this, and Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed. For this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places, and all these are but the beginning of birth pains. Ladies, can I have an amen? I did some of that, all right, but no pushing out, all right. So, but just the birth pains, like you're like, oh, remember when you were having your first child and you felt that first contraction, right? You're like, this is what it is. I don't know if I want to have anymore. You know, when it came to us having four kids, we always wanted four kids, but I wasn't like, honey, ready to have another one? Like I was like, quiet as a mouse. I know you don't probably believe that, but I was quiet as a mouse, and I just waited till Natalie was like, hey, let's have another one. I'm ready for the next one, and then I'm ready for the next one, and I'm ready for the next one, okay? So I was not pushing those doors, okay? I'm not saying, I was waiting for her to say yes, because you know what? The birth pains, right? The birth pains, even the first contractions. You know what? I give Natalie kudos, though. She never said, you did this to me, okay? She never started, like, yelling at me, right? She wasn't, like, giving me, like, here, let me see your hair. Ah, you know? Like, she never did any of that stuff. Like, you see that in some movies, and it might be true in your life. But, again, it was not in mine, and I'm super thankful. But Natalie, when she'd go through pain, like it was internal, like, this is hurting so horribly. I cannot explain to you, oh man, what this feels like. But again, this is the most extreme pain I'll ever feel in my life. But you know what? What it's going to produce is going to be amazing. And so I'm willing to go through it. And Jesus, he doesn't pick words haphazardly. He says, this is only the beginning of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Does it say there that you'll be liked? Does it say there that you'll get 1,000 likes on your posts? Does it say there that when you start saying the morals that the Bible says, that everybody's going to go, yes, you just love people, don't you? You are just a great person. No. Jesus, the very words of Jesus says, he says it. That they'll deliver you up to tribulation, put you to death, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away. Jesus doesn't joke about this. He doesn't act like, oh, everybody's just, I just love that. You know, and everybody that claims they're a Christian, they're just good to go. Jesus says, there's going to be people that make the promise to track with Jesus, and then it's going to get hard. Have you ever been trying to disciple somebody? And it starts getting hard as a Christian, and then you see him drop off. I have. It's the hardest thing to see as a pastor. Because here you're discipling, and you're pouring into them, and you want to see greatness come about in their life because Jesus is great inside of you. And so we, as a pastor and as a friend, we're all the disciple, right? And so we're discipling, and then it gets too hard. And they go, forget this, hoopla. Probably don't use that word, but. They say, forget this. It's too hard. I'm walking away. Guess what? Don't be surprised. Jesus said it would happen. Many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. You know how Corrie Ten Boom's ministry stopped after 4 years of rescuing and being a part of 800 lives in that whole platform? Is there was a traitor. There was a Dutch man that said, I really needed help. I really need help. And as soon as he was offered the help and the covert operation was revealed to him, he turned them in to the Gestapo. That's how it wasn't because they slipped up. And in fact, actually, the video will paint, she was sick at the time, Corrie was, and so her kind of defenses were down already. She was waiting for Peter. It was late at night. You ever have those times you're just drained, and you maybe do something you shouldn't have done, or, you know, you let down your guard, right? And so, again, Corrie lets down her guard to this Dutchman that then, again, betrays. Jesus says this. He said, they'll betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. You know, Jesus probably didn't get like standing ovations with his message right here, okay? They're not like, woo, bring it on, Jesus. This is exciting. I can't wait. But this is the reality, and this is the gospel. The love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures, everybody say endures, endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Will the end come before God wants it to come? No. When will the end come? When all nations, the whole world, hear as a testimony of Jesus. So how can you and I speed Jesus' return? We can funnel our resources, our prayers, our time into sharing the gospel around the world. And no, guys, a lot of us are like, you know, I mean, I've heard this pretty often. Different organizations are like, our organization is in every part of the world, so basically the world's reached. I love you, but you're wrong. Because there's pockets within that culture that everybody goes, we don't talk to those people. We still have that in our culture too, isn't that sad? But in the actual cultures where they say, those people are a lower caste system, so I'm not even going to reach them. So even the Christian hasn't said, hey, I want you to reach them, right? And so, again, the challenge is here, guys, is to say, we want Jesus to come, then we need to be a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Jesus' mission, the mission of the incarnation, coming and saving humanity will come to fruition, complete fruition, and then the end will come. Kingdoms and rulers, right? Remember that old song? Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Kings and kingdoms will pass away, but the name of Jesus will remain. Right? I can trust in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God's kingdom must be preached. All the other ones swirling around this world have a beginning and they have an expiration date. And I pray that I don't see the expiration date of anything going on in the United States. And I'm praying for my leaders. But God's kingdom will never end. So let's dream Christmas dreams. Let's lay our head down on our pillow tonight, whether we're in Egypt, in Bethlehem, or in Nazareth, with the confidence that the Lord is leading us and he's taking us from glory to glory. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? I always like to take an opportunity that maybe you're far away from the Lord. Maybe you haven't, again, really come to a place where you said, you know, at some point along the line, I either walked away or maybe I've never really made a commitment that's hardcore like that, saying, Jesus, no matter what, I'm going to follow you. But I want to do that today. I want to do that today, and I want to say, I'm committed to you through thick or thin, whatever happens, I'm making that commitment. And I'd like to pray with you. And if that's you, would you just slip up your hand and we'll pray. Yes, I see that hand. Amen. I'm just going to take just a moment here. But again, you're saying, I'm all in, Jesus. I'm all in. I'm all in thick or thin. I'm all in whether people love me or they hate me for the message of Jesus. I'm all in even when people criticize or give me a hard time about my faith. I will trust you. And maybe you've already done that, but maybe you haven't. And you're saying, I want to pray with you, Pastor John. And I'm praying for the courage and the strength to stand up and to be a strong Christian even through that. I'll just take a moment more. But if that's you, would you just raise up your hand? Well, again, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for the hand that's been raised today. And I ask, Lord God, that you would just be their Savior and King. And would we all say this? Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying on the cross and rising from the dead and taking my place. Equip me. Train me. Help me to be bold for your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. And I just pray blessing over this service. I thank you, God, for Christmas. I thank you for the joy that is found in these holy days. That's what they are. That's what holidays are. Holy days. that we can come together, that we can worship you, that we can honor you, and that we can live for you. And we just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.